Blog Talk Radio.
Another episode of Pneumaticos. I am your host, Dr. Josiah Rich, and this morning's episode is entitled The Gospel is God's Qualitative New Thing in History. I wanted to have this discussion with you this morning, which originates from the book of Isaiah, which some have called the fifth gospel. That is Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and then the book of Isaiah. Of course, the book of Isaiah was written before the gospels. But because of the nature and the structure of the book of Isaiah, some have fondly referred to it as the or the fifth gospel, I should say. In Isaiah chapter 43, verses 18 and 19, these words occur. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing, declares the Lord. Now it springs up and you do not perceive it. I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honor me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the desert and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen, the people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. Verse 22, yet you have not called upon me, O Jacob. You have not wearied yourselves for me, O Israel. You have not brought me sheep for burnt offerings, or Holocaust offerings, nor honored me with your sacrifices. I have not burdened you with grain offerings, nor wearied you with demands for incense. You have not brought any fragrant calamus for me, or lavished on me the fat of your sacrifices. You have burdened me with your sins, and wearied me with your offenses. I am he who blots out your transgressions for my own sake and remembers your sins no more. Review the past for me. Let us argue the matter together. State the case for your innocence. Your first father sinned. Spokesmen rebelled against me, so I will disgrace the dignitaries of your temple, and I will consign Jacob to destruction, or Karim, and Israel to scorn. But then God goes on and one will see that he has reason. He has grounds for the language that he used. Eventually, the language of judgment is softened into the language of acceptance, because we know that God is love. But his love is also balanced by justice. We know that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. We know that from Paul's book of Romans, that because of Christ Jesus and the sacrifice that he made on the Roman gibbet, that God can impute to us or reckon to our account the righteousness of Christ. So therefore, God can be just, and that his outraged justice and holiness is satisfied, and then the justifier, or the one who makes right the sinning one. God can be just and the justifier of he who believes in Yeshua, or Jesus. I love verse 18 because God states, forget the former thing. This is given in Hebrew, in the Ahithophel, the word dwell, not dwell on the past. And here God is drawing a contrast with the old. He says in verse 19, see, I am doing a new thing. The word dwell, once again, the aspect here is imperfect, that is, causative and reflexive. That is, God is saying, do not dwell on the ancient. Do not dwell on the ancient. God is moving out. God is doing something qualitatively different in the lives of his people. But he says, do not dwell on the ancient. Now, please keep in mind that you and I know so well that we become what we behold. We become what we think about and what we think upon. We become what we dwell upon. And so it is most unfortunate that there are individuals who, even though their bodies are in the present, they themselves do not dwell in the present. They live in the past because they dwell upon the ancient things, or they constantly talk about what could have been and what should have been. But let me say this morning that the past cannot be changed. No matter how we mourn or grieve about it, the past cannot be changed. If we do not want our griefs to become pathological, then we will seek out appropriate healers to help us to close up the past or to finish with the past so that we can begin living in in the present. God has moved out, and they said he is doing a new thing. And this is wonderful for us because God allows us to be free from the past too. And that God has promised through Christ Jesus that he is done with our sin. Notice what God says in verse 25. Even I am he who blots out your transgression. Now in Hebrew, the word for blots out, the verb here means to wipe out. To wipe out. And your transgression, the word here is avon in Hebrew, that is your rebellion or your perversity. And the word perversity is from a root that means to twist, bend, or distort. And God says, and remembers your sins no more. Then we can walk around in with real guilt, which is important because real guilt teaches us about certain things that we may not do in life or cannot do or it bespeaks an action or action for which we are culpable. And so we must be careful because there is real guilt assigned to us if an action or actions go against the revealed will of God for our lives. The result is called transgression. It is to overstep a legal boundary. So to transgress means to overstep a divinely established boundary for our lives, for our own good, so that we would be protected. God does this for us. God wants to make our lives strong and balanced. And so God says, as an act of grace, I am he who blots out or wipes out your transgressions for my own sake, so that we may have a relationship with God. In him is no, and so in order for us to have a relationship with him, we must have the sin question dealt with. We cannot do it. God has to do it for us. God has to take care of the sin question on our behalf. This is not a reality that can be solved by human means. It cannot be solved with attempting to formulate a therapeutic alliance with God. Because sin is due to the heinous nature of sin. And so, this is a very different reality in which God says that he will blot out your transgressions or our transgressions for his sake and remembers your sins no more. He goes on in verse 26, review the past for me. Let us argue the matter together. And here, the picture is that of presenting a legal case. Presenting before God a legal case. And notice, state the case for your innocence. Now, very interestingly, in Isaiah chapter 1, beginning at verse 1, notice the heading of Isaiah chapter 1, verse 1. The vision concerning Judah and Jerusalem that Isaiah, the son of Amoz, saw during the reigns of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah. Now, the historical context of the book of Isaiah is the Assyrian threat to the northern kingdom. That had already become rather, the northern kingdom had already become a part of the ruthless Assyrian Empire. So the threat here was the southern kingdom of Judah, which comprised the tribes of Judah and Benjamin. Now in chapter 1, Yahweh had summoned Judah to court in verse 18. But, so here's a cosmic, we are given a cosmic summons in Isaiah chapter 1. Notice verse 2. Hear, O heavens, listen, O earth. So the cosmic summons. For the Lord has spoken, I reared children and brought them up, but they have rebelled against me. And remember, we just say this word rebelled earlier in our study. Now, notice verse 3. The ox knows his master, the donkey his owner's manger, but Israel does not know. My people do not understand. I think it's important to read very carefully Isaiah chapter 1. And understand what is going on here, and that the Syrian threat was very just as much as our client nation relationship with God may be on the verge of collapse, because the people of God have forgotten that they are the people of God, and that we live in a very serious time. We live in a very serious time. And you hear and you read as well as I. You know the threats that are about. But God in verse 3 compares his, look at the comparison that he about his people. The ox knows his master, the donkey his owner's manger, but Israel does not know. My people do not understand. Sinful nation. And this is God speaking of his people. The word sinful is kata. That means missing the mark. Kata, a people loaded with, and again, the word here is Avon, A-V-O-N, in the Hebrew, which means to twist or distort. He calls them, that is, his people, a brood of evildoers, children given to corruption, or actually the word here is bad. Or loud noise. They have forsaken the Lord. They have spurned the Holy One of Israel. And here spurned means to reject with contempt. They have forsaken the Lord. And here, forsaken means to loose the band. That is, to let go. The word picture is that of which means to let go a beast from its bond and turn their backs on him. God goes on, why should you be beaten anymore? Why do you persist in rebellion? Your whole head is injured, that is, weak, diseased. Your whole heart afflicted, that is, languid or sick. From the sole of your foot to the top of your head, there is no sound, but only wounds and open sores, not cleansed or bandaged or soothed with oil. Now, due to the deceitfulness of sin, people will hear this word and say that it is too hard, and that is not the case. But Paul writes about those age who will have itching ears that wants to be tickled, and that Paul also states that they will not put up with sound doctrine. They will not want to hear the diagnosis, that is, the differential diagnosis of the great physician, because they would rather remain in their sickness. And notice that in Isaiah chapter 1, this cosmic summons, God notes the spiritual pathology of his people. And he notes the spiritual injuries, the spiritual wounds due to their pathology. God says, your whole head is injured. Your whole heart is afflicted from the sole of your foot to the top of your head. There is no soundness, only wounds and welts and open sores, not cleansed, nor bandage, or soothed with oil. Your country is desolate. Your cities burned with fire. Your fields are being stripped by foreigner right before you. Laid waste as when overthrown by strangers. Please read this. The daughter of Zion is left like a shelter in a vineyard, like a hut in a field of melons, like a city under siege. Our nation is under siege. As you well know, unless the Lord Almighty had left us some survivors, we would have become like Sodom. We would have been like Gomorrah. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom. Listen to the Torah, or law of our God, you people of Gomorrah. The multitude of your sacrifices, what are they to me, says the Lord? I have more than enough of burnt offerings of rams and the fat of fatted animals. I have no pleasure in the blood of bulls and lambs and goats. When you come to appear before me, who has asked this of you, this trampling of my court? Stop bringing meaningless offerings. Your incense is detestable to me. New moon, the incense represents prayers. New moon, Sabbath, convocations, all, in other words, all religious thought says, I cannot bear your evil assemblies. God is saying, he is done with their brand of worship, which is all hypocritical externalism. He is done with this type of false and evil worship. We have to get serious once again about who God is if we want to be rid of our own spiritual pathology, if we want our nation to be healed. We can no longer say, well, someone else is responsible and let someone else start first and I will continue in my sin and I will continue to live this life of outward humility, but covert inwardly I am nursing and tolerating some secret sin in my life. That is hypocrisy, my friend. Verse 14, your new moon, festivals, and your appointed feasts, God says, my soul hates. You have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you spread your hands in prayer, I will hide my eyes from you. Even if you offer many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash and make yourselves clean. Take your evil deeds out of my sight. Now God is speaking to his own people. Stop doing wrong, learn to do right, seek justice, encourage the oppressed. encourage the oppressed. Defend the cause of the fatherless. Plead the case of the widow, the legal case. Verse 18, come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Here again, notice the nature of the land. Though your sins are like garlic, they shall be as white. No, though they are red like crimson, they shall be like wool. Now, in Hebrew, it means, though your sins are like scarlet, they can be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they can be like wool. If you are willing and obedient, you will eat a cow, the best from the land. If you are willing and obedient. But if you resist and rebel, you will be devoured by a cow. Once again, devoured. The language is very serious. And again, God has condemned their worship as empty formalism. God is ready to move on and do a new thing. God says, I am doing a new thing. The good news, the gospel that God brings, the good news, the gospel that God has provided, this. That though your sins are like scarlet, they can be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they can be like wool. This is the message of the gospel. The gospel is God's qualitative thing in history. The gospel is God's brand new thing in history. If we love church and country, then we will get right with God. We will confess our sin, knowing that He is faithful and just to forgive our sin and to cleanse us from all righteousness. We will pray for the politician who may not have the spiritual experience. Instead of being condemning, we must go before the eternal throne of God and lay our case out for Him about the leadership that we are under. We must take this situation to God in all seriousness. We must once again ask God for revival and let the revival begin with us. Let us, instead of waiting upon heaven to lead in this great renewal that we need in the future, thus we can go from the gospel. It's God's good news for all men. It is time that we begin to live as Jesus has called us and to be done with empty formal worship and get serious with the person of God. My name is Dr. Cy Rich. Have a wonderful day. God bless you.